chapter 7 is where I've asked you to turn in your Bibles. I appreciate you turning there already if you have. If not, now would be the time to do that. Luke chapter 7, and we want to look at verses 18 through 28. Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 28. And in that passage of Scripture there, we find that the Lord Jesus has just finished with the miracle of raising up the young man, as we talked about last week, who was dead, and of course his mother was a widow, and we remember that story, that narrative from last week. Well, the Bible tells us in verse 18 of Luke chapter 7, and the disciples of John showed him of all these things, in other words, what Jesus had done. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I want to speak to you about that passage of Scripture. We'll probably talk about it, Lord willing, next week as well, and from a different angle. But we're going to focus on really the first part of that passage, and I want to speak to you regarding this topic, the blessing of not being offended. The blessing of not being offended. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning. Now, Lord, I thank you for these, your people as well, that you've brought out here and into this church in the middle of this snowstorm that we're getting. Lord, bless them for their faithfulness and willingness to come out on a snowy day. Lord, I pray that most of all, you would be magnified, that you would receive the glory that you deserve, and that especially through the preaching of your word, you would be magnified and glorified. That, Lord, we would hear with ears that are ready to receive and then act on the word that you give us. Lord, as we speak about this topic of being offended, would you help us, Lord, to grow from this topic? Lord, that we would see not just what we want to see, but what your word says, and that we could learn from it, and that it could be something where we are better Christians and more like Christ based on what your word says. And Lord, I can't do that. I can't change my own heart. I can't change the heart of anyone else. But I know you can. I know your spirit, using your word, can bring us all repentance and change our minds in such a way that we are forever changed in our actions. And Lord, I know that that is a miracle from you when the word is quickened to our hearts and minds. So Lord, I'm asking you, perform that miracle this morning in my life and the life of every person under the sound of my voice at this time. Lord, would you hear this prayer and answer it for Jesus' sake? We thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Many times we doubt the worth of living for Christ because of the circumstances that we have to pass through. All of you can probably remember a time in your life, and maybe that's even right now, or maybe, like we talked about last week, there's a fear of something in the future where you wonder, due to the circumstances that you're passing through, if living the Christian life is really worth it. I know when I talk to people in ministry, talking about like pastoral ministry, sometimes I'll hear a statement like, sometimes I wonder if it is worth it. And I know that pastors are not the only ones to go through things like that. Every single Christian, if they're involved in the ministry, which is what we all should be involved in, ministering to others, there comes times where you feel, I wonder if it is worth it. Well, I believe that John the Baptist was in a situation like that right now. If you remember John the Baptist, as he sends these messengers to Jesus, asking him whether or not he is the one that they've been waiting for, John the Baptist has every right, humanly speaking, to ask that question, because remember, he's sitting in a prison because he had rebuked Herod for the fact that Herod had taken his brother's wife. And he rebuked him for that, and so Herod put him in jail. And by the way, John the Baptist is about to lose his head for that statement and that stand for the Lord. And he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. Can you remember from the book of John, very early, and it actually probably wouldn't have been too much earlier than when John asked this question, John stood at the bank of a river, and he was baptizing and saw Jesus, and he pointed to Jesus and looked at all of his followers and said, behold, speaking of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he was so bold about that knowledge and that statement that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah that some of his own disciples left him and followed Jesus. So he was confident in that moment. But when circumstances went against him, he did what so many of us do. He was discouraged. And I don't blame him for that. I'm not going to be hard on him at all. And so what he did here is, upon hearing these miracles that Jesus was doing while he's sitting in prison, he sends two of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one that we've been waiting for, or look we for another? In other words, are you the Messiah, or are you just a precursor to that? And then, of course, Jesus performed some miracles, and we'll look in that in just a little bit. But what I want to remind you of is this. We all get discouraged from time to time due to circumstances, and we wonder from time to time, is it really worth it? But here's the point of the message. Grab a hold of this, and we'll base the rest of the message on this right here. The blessing of serving the Lord only comes to those who are not offended. That's what Jesus eventually here is going to tell John the Baptist. And if there's one thing I could ask you to grasp from this message this morning, is this. The blessing of serving God comes to those who do not get offended. And I'll share some thoughts with you on that. I would remind you of a verse in the Bible that you probably know well, Galatians 6:9, where it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you think about it for just a moment, if you plant a garden in a few months. Now, looking outside, it doesn't seem like you're going to ever be able to plant a garden this year, does it? You can't imagine being out there and tilling up or whatever your garden area and being able to plant some seed. But I promise you, eventually the ground's going to thaw and you'll be able to do that. There will be days, believe it or not, pretty soon when we'll be outside and at least one bead of sweat will come down our forehead. I promise you, it's coming, all right? Now listen, that season where we would plant the garden in later part of spring is generally when we do that, depending on what we're planting. It's good to plant, and you got to get it in at the right time. And if you till the ground up, you put some fertilizer in there, you get it all ready, you plant the seed and you let it grow, you water it, you keep an eye on it, and you weed it. And let's just say maybe early, mid, late June, life just takes a turn for the busier. And you're not able to do your job of gardening, whether that be weeding or more fertilizing or watering or whatever it might be, depending on the season. At the end of the season, you'll get there and you'll probably have some harvest, but it won't be much. And you don't have a right in August, September to look back and say, hey, I did a lot of work in early June and late May. How come the garden didn't produce? Well, it's not the garden's fault. It's that you fainted in the middle of the season. Can I put it this way? You were offended in the middle of the season. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The Bible says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Right. Would you fit into the category of one who has quit serving God due to an offense? due to something, whether legitimate or illegitimate, whether right or wrong, whether your fault or someone else's fault. But is there anything that happened in your life where you would have to look at your life right now and be honest with you and yourself, I should say, and God, and say, I've quit serving God because of an offense? Well, as we think about the importance of serving God, I believe that in our passage of Scripture here, the passage takes four progressions. And let's look at those four progressions. The first progression is this. It starts with a question. And that's in verse number 18. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling on him, two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? It starts with a question. John the Baptist comes with a question. And again, we've already talked about it. He has, humanly speaking, every right to ask that question. He's in prison. He believes that Jesus is the one, but yet circumstances aren't lining up with what he thought. And so he asks this question, are you truly the Messiah, we could say. And I would give you just a couple of things about that question. First of all, it was a question based on doubt. Now, John the Baptist was not a man of doubt. We don't call him Doubting John the Baptist. Would you agree with me? That's Thomas we call Doubting, right? John the Baptist does not have that moniker. But he did have a time of doubt, didn't he? In the beginning of his ministry in John 1, I believe it's verse 29, he says, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I mean, he was as sure as anybody. He was more sure than anybody else in his time. You don't have a lot of people going around saying, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's kind of alone in his stance, knowing who Jesus is. And by the way, at that point, Jesus hadn't really done any miracles. So he's a man of faith, but right here he's doubting. Why? Because the circumstances are causing him to doubt. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation where not too long before you were strong in your faith and had a certain belief, I know it's going to be this way, and I know God's going to come through, and I know God's word is true. And then maybe because of some adverse things going on in your life, you had a time where, you know, you're not necessarily throwing in the towel, but you're wondering, was I just foolish? Was I just, you know, impetuous before? I think we've all been there. I'm reminded of Hebrews 11:1 that tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And see, that's what faith is all about. It's dealing with things that we can't see. Faith is not faith until it sees some adverse circumstances. It's easy to have faith when things are going very, very well, but that's not real faith, is it? That's easy believism. But faith is when things are adverse, standing on what God's word says. His question was not only based on doubt, it was based on feelings. Again, he's in prison. He's looking around and things don't feel like Jesus is the Messiah. I would say this as well. This is my guess now. John the Baptist, when he declared, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, he probably had at least a part of his mind that thought much like the Jews of his day, which is when the Messiah comes, he's going to come triumphantly. And he's going to destroy our enemies and set up a righteous kingdom. And would you agree with me that he was not wrong to think that? Because the word of God is clear. The Messiah will come and destroy the enemies of God and his people and set up a righteous kingdom. The Old Testament is replete with that information. But what John the Baptist didn't realize is, although he knew the plan of God, he didn't know the whole plan of God. And can I use that maybe as a warning for some of us this morning or all of us this morning? You know, sometimes we're pretty dogmatic in what we think about some things. And we can be pretty hard on other people who don't maybe see it the way that we do. But sometimes we're like the people of the Old Testament Jews or even the Jews in Jesus' day where we're right in what we understand, but we don't always have the entire picture. And you know, things can look a lot different once you zoom in and get the whole picture. Or zoom out, I should say, and get the whole picture. Once you see every little detail. God has an amazing way of making you and me look foolish, right? We're all weathermen. in God's sight. God likes to make weathermen look dumb, doesn't he? Well, he does that with Christians too, because we get dogmatic. Oh, it's this way. Well, yeah, if God's word says it, you're right. But sometimes there are other pieces of the puzzle that you haven't realized are part of that puzzle. Keep that in mind. We need to be humble about those things. But John the Baptist had this question probably because of his feelings. He thought Jesus, being the Messiah, was going to get rid of Herod because Herod was a corrupt and wicked ruler. And here John is sitting in prison. He stood up against Herod and said, Herod, you're wrong. And he's in prison. Jesus is going about doing these miracles. Can you see John going, Jesus, what about me? If you're really the Messiah, aren't you going to deal with Herod? That wasn't the plan that the Father had, was it? The plan all along was that Jesus would be rejected. God knew what the Jews would do to him. They would reject him. God knew what the Romans would do for political reasons, want to take him out. God knew all of these things. It was the Father's plan all along. And John's thinking, this doesn't feel right. And he had a question. I would say this about his question as well. It was a question revealing how close John was to being offended. Now, I am not going to say he was offended because the scripture does not say that he was. But he was close. And the reason I say that is notice what Jesus said in verse 23. When Jesus sent the messengers back with a message to John, here's what he said, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You see, John was close to being offended, and Jesus was kind of trying to shore up that area of his life. Like, hey, don't quit. Remember, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. What does he mean by offended? It doesn't mean, oh, Jesus said something that I didn't like and I need to go find my safe space. That's not what offended means. Remember the illustration that I gave of a garden? How many people do you know, and we've all probably been this person from time to time, where, you know, middle of May when it's starting to get sunny, starting to get warm, and all of that, and we think, oh, wouldn't a garden be nice? And so in May, we get out there, we till up the ground, we plant the seed, and it starts to grow, and we water, and we fertilize, and we, weed and everything. But what happens in the middle of summer to almost all of us? We get very, very busy, don't we? And one week you forget to weed it, and one week turns into two or three, or sometimes, I know some of you have talked to me about this, sometimes we get a really wet year and you can't even get into the garden because it's so muddy. And so it just never produces quite what you want because of one reason or another. Now, are those legitimate reasons? Yes, we get busy in the summer, don't we? Yes, some years it's wet and you just can't even get in. But can I tell you this? Every one of those would be an illustration of we were offended. Our feelings weren't hurt, but there was something else that came up that stood in the way of us accomplishing what we originally intended to accomplish. That's offended. And when Jesus is saying to John the Baptist, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me, what he's saying is, John, you started believing in me. That's great. Good job, John. You did well. But now that the reality of who I am is upon you, not all that you thought I would be. You thought I would come and immediately destroy Herod and the Roman government and set up a righteous kingdom. And I'm not going to do that for a long time to come. I'm actually going to suffer and die in the next couple of years. Now that you realize I'm not what you thought, are you going to quit on me? Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended. When you finally find out that ministry isn't all that you thought it would be, when there are difficulties, when there are discouragements, when people stab you in the back and talk bad about you and those things, and that happens in every ministry I've ever heard of, it happens. Are you going to quit when you realize that it's not all fun and games? It's not a bed of roses. It's not a beautiful and easy life. There are difficulties and discouragements, and your enemy is real. Are you going to quit then? Because if you do, you're going to lose out on the blessing. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And that's why the title of the message is The Blessing of Not Being Offended. So John the Baptist started with a question. The second progression in our message is this. it continues with a proof. There was a question, now there is a proof. That's the second progression. Look with me, if you would, when the question was asked in verse 19, look at what happens in verse 20. When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he, Jesus, cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. You see, Jesus gave John a proof of who he was. He healed many, cured them of their infirmities and plagues. He cured them of their evil spirits. Those who were blind, many of them, he gave them sight. In that very hour, he was showing to John, John, look what's going on. Now, by the way, that's a fulfillment of a promise way back. There's actually a couple of different places, but turn with me, keeping your place in Luke, turn with me to Isaiah 35. Why did Jesus do those things? Well, because Jesus was trying to get John's mind back to Isaiah and verse 35, this general area anyway, and there are other areas. Isaiah 35 and verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And that's what John the Baptist was looking for. He's thinking, deal with Herod. Get rid of the Romans. Get the corrupt Jews out of the authority and put in a good and righteous government. Verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. We find there that there was a great promise that God had given long before. And Jesus gave the proof by healing, by dealing with the evil spirits and showing John the Baptist that, look, this is who I am. Jesus pointed to the fulfillment of those signs on that very day. Now, the third progression is, back to Luke chapter 7, that there was also a reassurance given. So there was a question, a proof, and then a reassurance. That's the third progression. Verse 22 of Luke chapter number 7. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You see, there was a reassurance. Look at all these works, John. Look at all these things that I've done. And then, John, don't just look at the works, but look at the word of promise that was given all those years before. Look, these things match up. John, you need to stay fast in your faith because look at this and look at the word of promise and look in the fact that they line up. And friends, I want to encourage you with this. Please give me your attention. I want you to know this and understand this. When you're in a dark time and when you're thinking about, you know, is it really worth it to serve the Lord? If you'll seek it from God, God will always give you an encouragement. He may not, you know, part the clouds and give you exactly the thing that you've always been waiting for. Remember, John is going to lose his head soon. Jesus never rescued him. He died for his faith. He was a martyr. So it didn't turn out exactly the way John wanted. But there was a little bit of a proof that God gave to him, that Jesus reminded him of, that look, this is right, and God will do that for you if you'll truly seek it from him. And I would encourage you, the place to go is the place that Jesus sent John, to the Word. And the Word of God will speak volumes to you, encouragement to you. I can't tell you how many times, friends, there have been many times, not so much here, but specifically in other ministries that I was in, and when I look back at the time when we were in Arizona and there were a lot of different things that we went through there, different discouragements and things like that, although it was a blessed time and a good time in other ways, there was many many a Sunday when at the end of it all, I would think to myself, is it really worth it? And I cannot tell you how many times on Monday morning, getting up before anyone else, sitting in my chair, reading God's word, where God would encourage me again. And for another week, I could say, you know what? I can go another week. Not only can I go another week, but I'm going to hit it even harder this week. And it wasn't me, you know, pulling myself up by my bootstraps and just getting enough character within. No. It was God's word and God's spirit using his word, ministering to my heart and giving me reassurance. Hey, you're doing what I want you to do. Keep going for me. And that's the same thing that'll happen with you. But you can't do that when you're watching television. God won't minister to your heart while you're watching the latest sitcom. God won't minister to your heart and encourage you while you're listening to the world's music or a self-help podcast. You know when God will give it to you? When you're in his word. And not even necessarily listen to a message, although, boy, you ought to listen to a lot of preaching. I'm all for that. But the word of God, just listening to it, reading it. Again, as I mentioned to you from time to time, get one of those set of MP3s where I prefer Alexander Scorby myself, where he's reading the word of God, or maybe somebody else, and just listen to that and meditate on what's being said and the encouragement. God will minister to your heart as Jesus did to the heart of John here. But let's look at the fourth and final progression back to Luke chapter 7. The fourth and final progression is this. This whole passage of Scripture concludes with the highest praise. So we have a question, a proof, a reassurance, and the highest praise. Look with me, if you would, at verse 24. After Jesus said, "Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Verse 24, "And when the messengers of John were departed," by the way, I find that interesting. You and I know what Jesus said about John, but you know who didn't know what Jesus said about John? John. Think about that for just a minute. Jesus didn't send the messengers of John back with the high praise that he's about to give. Hey, tell John what I think of him. I don't want any of us to get a big head or anything like that. But let me just put it this way. God may have a higher opinion of you than you know. Now, only he's the judge, and I'm not trying to pump your head up or anything like that or put pride in your heart. But sometimes Satan has us so beat down that we don't realize what God actually is using us to do. Just a thought that you can meditate on. Verse 24, again, "He began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." You see, the highest praise is what this concluded with. And Jesus basically asked the people, what were you looking for? Were you looking for somebody who, you know, would be on the outward appearance, would have prestige and influence and things like that? Or were you looking for a prophet? Well, the obvious answer is most of them were looking for a prophet. But they didn't even realize what a great prophet he was. And here's what Jesus said when he was saying that among those that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Here's what he's saying. He's saying John the Baptist is the greatest prophet that has ever been raised up. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? Think about the prophets. I remember a guy in the Old Testament that we've talked about recently named Elijah. Incredible. What a man of God. Elisha, right after him, a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. An amazing man of God. You can look about in the Old Testament, remember Micaiah, one of our personal favorites, right? An amazing prophet. We go on and on and on with the different prophets, Samuel being one of them. You know what, John the Baptist? Greater than all of them. sitting in a prison cell wondering, did I get it right? Is Jesus really the one that should come, or is there somebody else we're supposed to be looking for? That ought to be an encouragement to you and me in a couple of ways. Number one, because there are times when you're discouraged and you're not alone. Some of the greatest men and women of God in the Bible were discouraged at one time and another. Don't let that be something that Satan uses to beat you over the head. Listen, go forward. Don't be offended. Don't quit. But there are people who get discouraged. It's okay. Keep going. Get into God's Word. Let Him encourage you and keep going. So it ought to be an encouragement to you in that way that, you know, if you're discouraged, you're not alone on that. But the other thing that it ought to encourage you in is this. Sometimes God is using you in a greater way than you even imagine. I imagine if you and I could travel back in time and have a prison ministry in the prison where John was in, and we were to sit outside of his prison cell, pull up a stool outside of his prison cell and sit there and interview John. If we were to say, John, what do you think about your ministry? What do you think? Did you accomplish what you wanted to accomplish? What do you think, John? Are you a success or a failure? What do you think his answer would be? We don't know, but we can imagine. My imagination tells me that John would be pretty down on himself. Probably, I don't know, it's up to the Lord. Sure don't feel like I did much. It was a short ministry. I didn't have very many followers. In the beginning I did, but it didn't last long. And here I am withering away. I think I might lose my head at the end of all this. I don't know. But what does God say about him? Well, it's preserved for all of eternity, isn't it, right here? There are not among those that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater prophet than John the Baptist. You know, God has a different opinion of you and a different opinion of me than we probably imagine. By the way, it might be better or it might not be as good. But he's the judge, not me and not you. Keep that in mind and be faithful. The blessing of not being offended. Do you remember our illustration of the garden? Let me go back to that and I'll close with this. If in the middle of the gardening season you started well, but things, you know, busyness got in the way, and the garden is full of weeds, and maybe the plants aren't doing so well, you know, there's still time to get out there and weed, isn't there? And if you'll shore up that garden and begin to do what's right, you know what, you can still have a great harvest. If you've been discouraged and you've been offended, today God's calling you to leave that offense, get back up, and get on the path again. And keep going for the Lord. He'll use you in a great way if you'll let Him and just leave the results up to Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank You for the opportunity to preach about this topic to Your people. Lord, I know that we all have times where we're discouraged and we look around at the circumstances and it seems as if we got it all wrong and it isn't worth it to do what we've been doing. But Lord, would You help us never to be offended? And Lord, if we have been offended in the past, that we would repent of that offense and that we would again take You at Your word, stand upon Your word, no matter the circumstances, and go forward for You. Lord, would You bless in this invitation time? For Jesus' sake, I pray. With every head bowed, every eye closed.